In late October 2018, the Australian Earth Laws Alliance convened an international symposium discussing the effects of industrial-scale agriculture on natural systems and human communities. 3 days of lectures and presentations were given by eminent environmental law specialists from around the world. The symposium was held to explore possibilities for protecting nature through law and rights of nature legislation. On October 27th, at the final session of the symposium, Sarah Moles gave evidence to the Australian People's Tribunal in the Banco Court Supreme Court building in Brisbane. Her presentation gave the Australian People's Tribunal and all of us an overview of the Darling River and the Menindee Lakes as she has seen it over 15 years of close observation and study. Earthling Studios was there to record the event.
I would now like to invite Sarah Moles to speak with us. Could you please tell us your name and where you are from?
I'm Sarah Moles. I'm from Warwick on the Darling Downs, and I've been involved in community-based natural resource management, particularly in the Murray-Darling Basin, for about 25 years.
Can you tell us from your perspective about the impacts of irrigation on the Darling and its communities?
Thank you. Yes, before I begin, can I pay my respects and acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on whose lands we meet on today and acknowledge that these lands were never ceded, and also to the traditional owners of the Darling Basin, because I've learned a fantastic amount from them. A quick orientation. Fran kindly showed us a map of the whole of the Murray-Darling Basin. The Darling part of the basin is about two-thirds. I'd like to think of it as our Darling Murray rather than the Murray-Darling. You can see, as Fran mentioned, this is what Fran and other experts refer to as a flood pulse river. It's Australia's longest river. It's the quintessentially Australian river, and it's certainly our most iconic. Along the edge of the Darling Basin, the eastern edge, we have a large number of government-owned and built irrigation storages, most of them hold the equivalent of many hundreds of thousands of Olympic swimming pools worth of water. But the Darling Basin is a little bit different to the Murray insofar as it also has seen massive investment in privately owned on-farm storages, as Fred and Fran were alluding to. Could I have the next slide, please? I took these photos on a flight from Brisbane down to Melbourne. And you can see this is, I'm not quite sure which catchment, probably the Gwydir and the Namoi valleys. And just some examples of the extent and expanse of the private take of water and pumping into privately owned storages. This is the middle reaches of the river. There are certainly lots of little dams, little tiny stock dams further up in the headwaters. But as you move down each one of these valleys, it seems to me that those storages get bigger and bigger until you get to places like Cubby Station, which has one storage that holds 70,000 megalitres, 70,000 Olympic swimming pools worth of water. It's a staggering amount. And those dams were originally built, these private dams were originally built so that farmers could harvest water out of the rivers when the river came up to a particular height. And then there was a loophole in the legislation in both states, and those sort of dams started to be built so that water could be harvested as it was moving across the floodplain, because water outside of the bed and banks of a river was not covered by the legislation. And so the rivers took a double hit. And it's important to understand this in the context of the flood pulse river, because all the life that lives in and along the river has evolved to cope, to live and to thrive with a particular range of pulses. And as we've extracted water for our own selfish uses, that pulse has changed. It's been diminished massively. To a great extent, in the absence of laws to regulate the taking of overland flow water, there was just uncontrolled expansion, a bit like the uncontrolled knocking down of native vegetation that Martin Taylor told us about this morning in the lead up to the introduction of laws covering native vegetation clearing. And this is the result. This is the Darling River near Tilpa, taken by my friend Julie McClure, who's a grazier on the Darling. That was taken just a few weeks ago, really, not so long after a coordinated release of water from one dam in New South Wales and one dam in Queensland to back up onto a flow, a natural event that was coming out of Queensland, to make sure that enough water could be pushed down the river to save a whole lot of grazing businesses and to save a whole lot of communities from completely running out of water. It's pretty hard to imagine that this is the major artery of New South Wales. This is what keeps that country alive. And once upon a time, there was a thriving paddle boat industry that chuffed up and down here, carrying the wool clip from vast stations all over western New South Wales and southwestern Queensland. Could I have the next slide, please? This is another result. This photo was taken below Menindee Lakes. This gentleman lives on a property called Avonul between Menindee and Wentworth, which is where the Darling River joins the Murray. You can't actually see it terribly well in this light, but that water is green slime. This is supposed to be stock and domestic water, but it is toxic most of the time. You can't drink it, you can't swim in it, you can't fish, you can't let your animals into it. It is that foul. I've seen signs on every single river valley in the Northern Basin with cute little graphics warning you about contacting that water. And if that isn't a damning indictment of what Whitefella management has done to the Darling River, then I have no idea what is. Wilcannia is about halfway down the Darling River. It's overwhelmingly an Aboriginal town, and it's a large community of Barkindji people. The Barkindji have, like Aboriginal people everywhere in Australia, a deep connection to their country, and they have specific obligations to look after the river. Because of its geographic location on the Darling and below where all the northern tributaries join the Darling, the main trunk, Wilcannia wears the impacts of all the development upstream. And the point I want you to take away from this is the decrease in reliability of water in Wilcannia. 74 years of flows from 1920 until 1994. And the grey colour, the 22 years since 1995 when the cap on diversions from the Murray-Darling Basin was introduced. The reliability of water in Wilcannia has declined by 22%. That is an enormous drop in reliability. It's no wonder that the river is green slime and that people can't swim in it, fish in it, play with their dogs in it. I'm not surprised that Aboriginal people are angry and depressed. I'm angry, and I'm not someone that can speak for country or anything like that. I can barely imagine the grief that Aboriginal people must feel faced with that and knowing that it is absolutely impossible for them to pass on their culture to the current generation. Culture is dying for want of water. And from where I'm standing, I don't think genocide is too tame a word. I'm aware that a couple of well-connected white fellas, politically well-connected and very well-connected business-wise, made representations to a certain New South Wales government minister and had the water sharing plan for the Barwon-Darling changed in their favour. Two or three people did that. I'm not sure what the population of Wilcannia is, but they have been crying about the state of their river for a very long time, and those cries have been falling on deaf ears. I personally do not believe that that would have been the case if Wilcannia was a predominantly white community. One of the things that I think is so tragic about the impending loss of Indigenous culture is that encoded in your law, Fred, is a whole lot of ecological wisdom that holds the keys to how we live sustainably, how we manage our rivers in a sustainable way that will give everybody a reasonable quality of life, that will share the pain and the plenty, the burden and the bounty. And that's just right out of order, something like that. Can I have the next slide, please? It's about 15, 18 months now since Four Corners aired the episode called Pumped, that blew the lid off corruption in the Murray-Darling Basin and the illegal taking of water, the lack of compliance, particularly by the New South Wales government. Frankly, tip of the iceberg. I'm watching this space with bated breath because I know that there is more to come, and I can't wait for a very bright light and a very, very forensic examination to be made of exactly what has gone on. So what we've seen, in my opinion, is a massive failure of public policy. And the response from the New South Wales government and the Murray-Darling Basin Authority is to fix it with an engineering solution. Now, it has been in the media, but not a lot of people seem to be aware of it. But there is a pipeline just about completed, a $500 million project from Wentworth on the Murray to pipe water to Broken Hill, which used to get its water supply from the Menindee Lakes. The people of the Menindee area, and particularly the Barkindjee people, do not want this pipeline. The people of Broken Hill don't want this pipeline. They're deeply suspicious of the motivations behind it. They are aware that when the business case was put out to be reviewed by a major consulting firm, they found the business case to be extremely thin, wanting in a whole lot of detail and information. And by the way, where is the environmental impact statement? There are hopefully soon to be exposed reasons why this project is being rammed through, but part of it seems to be that we don't have to give any more water to the Darling River because we can just pipe water up there, and just let's forget about the fact that Menindee is not only one of the most important fish breeding sites in the entire Murray-Darling Basin, it also has enormous spiritual and cultural significance to Indigenous communities. To finish, I would like to tender a piece of evidence to the panel. Fred, I was amused to hear you mention a poem from Uncle Bill Riley called The Dying Darling. About 12 years ago, I travelled through the Darling Basin and interviewed many people and wrote a book called The Dying Darling, which I think neatly sums up opinions of what's gone wrong and why. And the thing that depresses me more than anything about having written this book is how much worse it is today. Thank you.
Earthlink Studios is an independent media production collective devoted to informing with facts and trends about those things that determine our collective futures. To contact Earthlink Studios, send an email to earthlinkstudioproductions@gmail.com. That is all one word with no spaces. Or mail your letter to us at Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales 2441. That is Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales 2441. To find out more about issues and matters related to the Darling River, go to the Vanishing River website, www.thevanishingriver.com.au. thevanishingriver.com.au.